Good evening, and welcome to our Good Friday service. We was on the Walk of Witness this morning, and it was very good, lots of people, I'd say about 30, 40 people, yeah, easy. And it brought to mind something I'd read a while ago, and I wasn't sure if I still had it, and I have, so I'd like to read it to you. Because someone mentioned this on the Walk of Witness about we are the feet of Jesus. And someone wrote this, I don't know who it was, and it said, Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassionately on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. And with that in mind, we shall have a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you on this Good Friday for your Son, who, by great compassion and grace, laid down his life for us, that we may be forgiven of our sins and brought back into relationship with you. Father, as we worship and praise you this evening, fill our hearts with your Spirit. Move among us. Open our hearts to your word that we may have a better understanding and a closer relationship with you and each other. Once again, thank you for Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, that upon the cross his blood washed us all, making us holy in your sight, without blemish, redeemed, forgiven, and reconciled. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing our first hymn, and it's hymn number 1404, King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven, living in me.
In royal robes, I don't deserve.
Our reading today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. We're going to sing again, because you're in fine voice. And it's number 441, Only by Grace.
Only by grace can we stand.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to partake in communion, help us to remember all that you have done for us at Calvary's cross. Jesus laid down his life freely for us, that we may be forgiven. May the bread we eat burn in our hearts the sacrifice of your Son. May the wine we drink fill our minds with the clarity of the cleansing that took place with Christ's blood. The cross has opened the way for relationship with you, Lord. May all present here today, and those for whatever reason are not, be filled with your Spirit, that we may worship and praise you the rest of our days, until you come again or call us home. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we come to communion. Paul says this in Corinthians, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" We shall take the bread and eat and remember Christ's sacrifice. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Amen. We'll take the cup and we'll retain it and drink together. Let us drink and be thankful, remembering Christ's sacrifice for us. We're going to go straight into our next hymn, which is 1589. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Did you know that Coventry is the UK's only city of peace and reconciliation? Coventry was heavily bombed during the Blitz of November 14th, 1940. It was targeted because of the major industries producing armaments, munitions, and engines for the war. During this raid, over 500 people lost their lives. Another 1,000 were injured, and over 4,000 homes were destroyed. Also left in ruins in the raid was the cathedral. Shortly after the raid, the cathedral stonemasons built a temporary altar from the rubble and constructed a cross from the charred embers of two of the roof beams. The words, "Father, forgive," were written on the wall behind the altar. Interestingly, you might note only two words, "Father, forgive," and not Father, forgive them. A cross was also constructed by wiring together three of the large nails which had once supported those roof beams and went on to become a symbol of the cathedral. A few weeks after the bombing, the 1940 BBC Radio Christmas Day service was broadcast from amongst the ruins. The provost, the person in charge of the cathedral, Richard Howard, vowed that when the war was over, the cathedral would work with the people who were previously their enemies to build a kinder, more Christ-childlike world. The cathedral has created an international community of the Cross of the Nails, dedicated to spreading the message of peace, forgiveness and reconciliation. Coventry, the city of reconciliation and peace, stands as a testament to healing and hope. Just as the city rebuilt relationships and fostered unity after conflict, Good Friday invites us to reflect on the ultimate act of reconciliation through Christ's sacrifice on the cross. On this day, we remember how Jesus took upon himself our sins, bridging the gap between humanity and God and renewing our relationship with God. What is reconciliation? Reconciliation is the process of restoring friendly relations, establishing harmony and peace between people or groups who were previously in conflict or disagreement, and involves addressing past grievances, healing emotional wounds, and fostering a renewed relationship based on trust, respect, and shared values. Reconciliation requires humility, forgiveness, and a willingness to communicate openly. In regard to spiritual matters, it involves acts of repentance, confession, prayer, and a commitment to moral or ethical transformation. Colossians 1:21 says this: "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior." And maybe if we still need reminding of our sinfulness, Psalm 51:5. "Surely I was sinful from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." Though we may profess Christ, none of us are perfect. We need reconciliation. Are we ready to communicate openly and confess our sins, to repent, to pray, and to commit to the transformation of our very selves? 2 Corinthians 5:17, which I'm sure we all know, says this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come." And that is punctuated by an exclamation mark. But listen to what it goes on to say, verse 18. "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ." Today, Good Friday, is a day we remember Christ's crucifixion and everything that that symbolizes. This one act of sheer obedience and selfless sacrifice gives us life. Not just life, but eternal life. But what good is eternal life if we are not reconciled to God, not in right relationship with the Father? Imagine an eternity in the presence of your enemy. But reconciliation comes at a cost. Our reconciliation comes at a cost. For Jesus' suffering was immense. Isaiah 53:5 we read, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds we are healed." He bore not only our sins, but also the weight of separation from his Father. Matthew 27:46. My God, why have you forsaken me? We are all separated from God by our sins, with no way back by our own efforts. But fortunately, we don't have to become perfect before we can be reconciled to God. Through the blood of Christ, God showed his great love for us. Look at these. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Colossians 1:22. But now he, that is God, has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. How magnificent is that? That through the cross we are holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Let us keep that in our hearts this Good Friday as a reminder of God's infinite grace. And Romans 5:11. For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? If God showed such dramatic love for us when we were enemies and sinners, think of the blessings we will receive when we are reconciled to God. If God does this much for his enemies, how much more will he do for his friends? True reconciliation requires a sacrifice. Just as Jesus laid down his life for us, the perfect sacrifice, we too must be willing to lay aside our pride, our hurt, our selfishness, and yes, maybe even our lives. But something must take place before there can be reconciliation. There must be atonement, the making of amends for wrongdoing, the seeking of forgiveness. For without atonement, there can be no reconciliation. Can we atone for our own sins? No. Our deeds are but filthy rags. Only by the grace of God and the blood of Christ on Calvary can we be forgiven by and reconciled to God. Atonement through Christ's sacrifice on the cross is essential because it removes the barrier of sin that prevents reconciliation. And as a symbol of this barrier being removed, we read, "The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." Mark 15:36. Just at the point when Jesus said, "It is finished." For the curtain separated the Holy of Holies, where God's presence dwelt, from the rest of the temple. We may use two different ways of understanding human need and God's salvation. We can see God as judge, and we are guilty before him. Therefore, we need forgiveness and justification. We can see God as our friend, and we have damaged our relationship with him. Therefore, we need reconciliation. Both these are true. Neither one should be promoted ahead of the other one. Through his death, Jesus took upon himself the sins of humanity, allowing us to be reconciled to the Father. Not only are we forgiven, but we are reconciled, and we have also been given the ministry of reconciliation. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 and onwards. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself and through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting man's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We are all called to share the message of reconciliation through Christ. It's all part of the gospel, the life, death, and resurrection. We have been entrusted with this important task. We are to tell others about how Jesus' sacrifice upon the cross restores our relationship with God. We are to encourage forgiveness and understanding among people, reflecting God's love in our interactions. And we are to do this by living a reconciled life, believing and knowing that we are holy in his sight, without blemish, embodying love, grace, and compassion in our daily lives. Not only are we reconciled to God, but we are also called to help others find the same reconciliation. By living out this ministry, we can transform communities and lives, demonstrating God's love and mercy. So today isn't just about being reconciled to God, but also being reconciled to our brothers and sisters. Here's an extract from a book I'm reading. We had no choice as to the time we were born, in what country, county, or city. We did not choose our nationality, skin colour, socio-economic environment, gender, looks, or parents. If God chose these, why do we separate ourselves from others over them? Why do we act superior or inferior to others over things we had no choice in? Through the blood of Christ, we can come together and unite with others to benefit from our differences, not use them as weapons. So today, on this Good Friday, is there any one of us here who has someone we need to be reconciled with? For Matthew 5, verses 23 to 24 tells us, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. To me, this demonstrates just how important reconciliation is. That before we can come to the altar to worship, we must have peace and harmony and trust and respect between us so that our worship is in spirit and in truth. When we seek reconciliation and foster healthy relationships, it enriches our worship experience and honours God. But when we approach God with unresolved conflicts, it can hinder our ability to fully engage in worship. Let us find reconciliation today with God and with each other. As we have gathered today, this Good Friday, let us embrace the spirit of Coventry, seeking peace not only within ourselves, but also with those around us. Just as Coventry transformed pain into purpose, may we allow Christ's love to guide us in reconciling broken relationships in our lives. A few verses on from our passage, it says this, I tell you, now is the time of God's favour. Now is the day of salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your incredible love shown on the cross. We give thanks that we are holy in your sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Help us pursue reconciliation in our lives and grant us courage to forgive as you have forgiven us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We shall sing our final hymn, number 32, At the Name of Jesus. Father, we give thanks for this Good Friday as we remember Jesus' sacrifice for us. May we all go in peace and reconciled with you and with each other. Amen. Amen. Before you all go, there is tea and coffee and hot cross buns in the room, in the hall. Thank you.